Okay, I want to welcome everybody back to the Beit Midrash. Okay. All right. So I must say that after the last class, which was very well received, I had a lot of great energy about it, and I learned a tremendous amount of halacha. I hope everybody else did as well. And I always focus on, I try to focus on what we can do and how, what's the proper way to do something, and to learn to do it the right way so that people are able to do what you want to do and to have a Shabbos, but to do it the right way. So I thought I would continue because there are a lot of other issues that are worthwhile to discuss when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. So we're going to talk about Shabbos. And I want you to know also that pretty much every one of these shiurim, what happened was people asked me questions. Yeah, what do you know? So pretty much every one of these shiurim that I'm going to give was based on a question that somebody asked me during the past probably year, half a year. Every time somebody would ask me a shiur, I'd say, ooh, got to write that one down, because if it was a Shabbos question, I mean, keep it in mind. So one of these weeks I come up to your question, you'll let me know.
How did you write it down, Shabbos?
We covered that last year. So I was standing at a wedding when somebody came up to me and said, Rabbi. It's always that way, isn't it? Right. Rabbi.
Like, doctor.
Yeah. Could you check my feet, though? I'm sorry. Rabbi. I want to have coffee on Shabbos. So how do you make a cup of coffee on Shabbos? And he didn't ask it to me in that way. He asked me in a different way. He said, do you know what a bodum is? And I said, I absolutely know what a bodum is. I have one. I love it. He said, well, someone gave it to me and told me that that's how they make coffee on Shabbos. I said, oh. So we're going to discuss today the different ways to make coffee on Shabbos. So, in my little show and tell, I have hot water. This is just hot water, okay? We're going to pretend, by the way, that this is a Kli Rishon. Everybody know what a Kli Rishon is? Kli Rishon means, let's pretend that this was cooking on the fire, okay? So this will be our fire, and then we'll just put the water on the fire, and now it's cooking, okay? No. Well, it doesn't matter.
You got to put in another cup.
What?
You can't just put it directly.
This is the first Kli.
Right.
Well, we'll talk about that.
Why is it?
Fire.
The fire.
Or the breath. I know.
No, fire.
Electric,
well. It's fire. Okay? We'll just pretend that it's on the fire. Okay. You want to make it a black, so we'll pretend it's on the...
Is this the black on the ground, then?
What? Big...
It's on the black.
The same if you got a...
She's getting nervous already. I missed the joke.
She's getting nervous already.
Relax, relax. Take it easy. I have instant coffee. I have coffee beans, which is, by the way, just for you coffee addicts, the best way to have coffee. I have ground coffee, okay? I have coffee filters. And I have, as you can see here, for those of you listening at home, I have an electric coffee maker with a timer. We'll talk about all of these things and how you make coffee on Shabbos. So, let's say you were stuck on a desert island with coffee beans. You're a desert island and coffee beans on Shabbos. And you decided you need coffee. Now, for those of you who are regular coffee drinkers, you can well understand, I need my coffee. Right? Somehow, I think I pretty much trained myself not to be addicted. For some reason, 6 days a week, every day, I've got a cup of coffee. But then Shabbos, I just do without.
That's smoky used to
it. Yeah, I guess you get used to it. So I don't have a cup of coffee on Shabbos. But there are people that they need their coffee. And if you if you like coffee like this, you can't drink this.
Yeah.
The Sanka, like, you know. It doesn't smell it. It's like... Ah, you know, it's like a different world. So, is it possible for a person to make fresh coffee on Shabbos?
Yes.
You sure? Okay, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about
bags.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah.
I forgot the coffee bags. I meant to have those.
Tea bags,
what?
Aren't they like tea bags?
Ooh, excellent point. Mary, you do give me a favor, bring me a tea bag, just any tea bag. Because we'll pretend that's a coffee bag, because I forgot about that, and that's another coffee delivery system. Okay.
Not the individual that you pour.
He's talking about the whole bag that's already ground up. It's,
I know what he's talking. No. It comes in a
tea bag.
In a tea bag, exactly like that. And it's coffee instead of tea.
It's also one that comes, have you ever
No. It's an individual.
Yes, I have. I had one, and I know. But it's like it's the same thing. It just goes to show you how badly addicted we all are that we know about these things. Question one: not that you would ever really want to, but can you grind the beans on Shabbos?
I'd say no.
Why?
Because it's grinding.
Right, you're grinding. So look at that. Source number one. Tochein is an av malacha. It's one of the Ishurei Deoraita. So Tochein could grow geris if you grind could grow geris there. Now mount up a small bean, probably one of these. Right? You grind up a coffee bean on Shabbos. Chayav. Okay, so you are obligated. Chayav means you violated Shabbos midah oraisa, Torah prohibition. V'chol hashochek tavlin v'shamanin v'machteshet. Anyone who in a machteshet is a grinder. If you grind it up, tavlin, spices or shamanim are like herbs in a grinder. Arezet tochein v'chayav. So you are tochein, and that's chayav. So we see that there's a prohibition of tochein. Of grinding. Except, we'll see one thing. Let's see, let's just look at the English for a second. What?
How about it?
Very good. Very good. So, go to source number two. Yeah. So, it's an interesting question I was going to bring in. If you had a choice between using a grinder, Eddie, on Shabbos, or a hammer, which one would you think you should use?
I mean, if when I grind it up over here, it's not as good.
Very good. A hammer is an unusual way of doing it. So the prohibition of tochein is grinding something in such a way. What was the prohibition based upon? Remember, what were they grinding? What were they grinding up? Do you remember the based on
medication? Medication.
Well, yeah, medication. But there were two things. One was the meal, like the flour. Or also remember, I think they were grinding up for the dyes. Also, remember we learned that, right? So if you look at number two, this is from the Shabbos book, from the Rabbi Ribius book. The four exemptions to tochein. There are primarily four exemptions to the malacha of tochein. In effect, this means that there are four conditions under which tochein is permissible. However, unlike the three conditions of Borer, where all three conditions are required, these four exemptions are completely independent of each other, and each one is separately sufficient to permit tochein. They are, one, ein tochein ela begidulei karka. Tochein only applies to something that grew in the ground. So did our coffee bean grow in the ground?
Yes.
Did our coffee bean grow in the ground?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Grew from the ground. You do like karka. Yes. It doesn't mean plants. Anything that grew from the ground. So which means you can chop up your eggs to your heart's content. There's no such thing as tochein for eggs. Okay? Anyway. Two. Ein tochein acha tochein. Something cannot be ground after it's already ground. So, for example, let's say I had this ground up coffee. This is an important thing. Or I came up to a clump of instant. This happens often. You open it up and, and you're really desperate and it's been a year and you can't believe you're drinking instant, but, you know. So can you crumble it down so you can make a cup of coffee? The answer is absolutely, because that's not grounding at all. Number three, miyad. If you want to do it for immediate use. And number four, shinoi. So you would do it in an abnormal manner. So if you're really desperate and you really want to have your coffee and you don't have any beans, so you could do it with your coffee. This is fine. The coffee can work. I mean, you're not going to have the finest of coffee.
Some mortar and pestle.
Mortar and pestle is out. Absolutely not.
Because that's true grinding.
That's the usual way. Or, like, if you have a hand grinder, no way. But if you want to do it with a hammer, I mean, it ain't going to be pretty. But, right.
Yeah, plus that's the way.
My favorite thing is, the thing that I grind in my... The hammer is not moksha, correct, very good, for that, correct. Take a frying pan and you start smashing with the bottom of the frying pan. Rolling pin? I don't think anybody grinds their coffee with a rolling pin. Yeah, okay. So that is issue number one. Now, I don't know anyone that grinds their coffee on Shabbos with a shinoi. If you do that, you seriously need help. I think that's... Then you also need help. Okay. Fine. Question number two. So you'll say, okay, so I want to skip around. I want to skip a little bit. So that's question number one, grinding the beans. You could do it, but, I mean, let's be honest. Who needs to? Number two. What about the coffee filter? So there's another problem. There's another malacha on Shabbos. What? Very good. Well, not really separating. There's an issue of a problem called sifting. Right? There's borer, and then there's something called merakade. A merakade is sifting. Okay? What is the issue of merakade? You have a kli, you have a vessel or a utensil, and you're putting in the mixture, and then you shake it around, and what comes out the bottom?
The smaller part.
The good or the bad?
The good. It depends what you're sifting.
Yeah.
What?
Depends what you're sifting.
Okay, but usually in the context of grain, what comes out?
The flour.
The good.
Yeah.
Okay, is anybody done with their drink yet?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take that. Thank you. So now, in my coffee example, so what about, do I have this problem? All right? So what am I doing? I'm taking coffee with my filter, and I'm pouring in, this is really scientific. I'm pouring in water, and, well, I lost it, okay? And what comes out the bottom?
Colored water
comes out the bottom. So now, do you think that would be considered filtering? Would that be considered sifting or not sifting?
Isn't that like tea? The tea is the same thing. I mean, you got a bag, you put the bag in, and then you pour the water in, and when you drink, you're drinking the tea.
Excellent. So how in the world do we use tea bags? Isn't that not exactly what we're talking about?
Yes.
So George is saying, don't use tea bags. Well, I said, you use tea bags. Aren't you filtering through the tea bag? I mean, in theory, if I could just hold the tea bag up. I mean, they didn't always have tea bags. There once was a time where, what did they use?
Tea leaves.
Tea leaves, and they mixed it in, right? And then what? They let it settle, right? Fine, and then there's no sifting going on. There's no straining going on. But in this thing, it seems like there is straining. Except the very...
Not doing anything physically, because what's coming through is not
liquid.
Small particles of coffee, but it's dissolved, the essence of it dissolved in the water.
And therefore, what are you saying?
I'm saying it's not sifting.
Because?
Because you're not taking any particles through it.
What I was trying to show you, even in my little bad experiment here, though, is when I pour the water in essence, though, what I have is, it seems to me, you have a mixture of water and coffee. Water and grinds. Mm-hmm. At that point, though, what are you doing then?
You're separating.
I understand what you're saying.
You're separating.
Okay, but there's an interesting shak halacha. There's an interesting halacha that the Rambam says. Source number 5 on page 2. Says the Rambam, Hamishamer Yayin. Okay, someone who is Mishamer Yayin, he filters water.
Wine.
Wine. Oh, shemen.
You almost drink.
Or oil. Oh, mayim. Or water. V'chein sh'ar maskim b'mishmeret shalahem. Or the drinks in their mishmeret, in their filter. Chayav. Okay? So let's say you have wine. Why would they filter wine? Because wine, when you make it, is not clear. It's not clear. You know, they only sell you the clear stuff. Why? Because you're not going to... What?
Just be concentrated.
Real wine, when you make the real wine, there's schmutz at the bottom. Right, so they used to have schmutz at the bottom. They would sell you the wine, that's the way it came. We're very spoiled. You know, it's interesting. One of the things people don't realize, when you buy apple juice, what does apple juice look like today?
Clear.
Anybody ever squished apples?
Yeah.
Why do I like organic apples?
It's muddy and cloudy.
Depends on when you buy it.
Depends on when you buy it. Cider mill. Why? Because what cider? Cider is apple juice. It's real apple juice. So how do they get it from cider to apple juice? No. They add a clearing agent to it. It's a chemical.
Alum.
Correct. What's it called?
Alum.
What's that made of?
Human.
So people don't realize, by the way, in order to get it clear, you have to add this. And this chemical is grown with an enzyme. Right? That's how they make it. They grow it with an enzyme. From what I remember in my OU seminar. So that chemical has to be kosher. So usually, it almost always is, but you would think, what's wrong with apple juice? God, what could be wrong with apple juice? The answer is, what'd you say?
Lars.
Well, no, I don't know.
Well, yeah, the last comes from an alum is natural.
Well, Franklin, the apple orchard in Franklin, I think you should always go there.
That I think you could. Yeah. Because the people say you could because it's all natural. It's really squished.
They don't
do anything.
No, but they stop doing it because they end up with the filters and you put it through.
Yeah.
They're coated with lard.
Really?
Really?
Is that
never went then. Okay.
Why would you put lard? It would stop it from coming through.
They used to put lard.
Are you sure?
Sugar and they sugar it down to clarify.
Okay. Aval. But Mishanani Yayin Shein Bo Shimarin. But let's say you have clear wine. Can you filter that? The answer is yes. Oh, Mayim Shalulim, or clear water bisudarim. With a sudar, with a handkerchief, ubekrif amitzit, or this kind of garment, kadei shiyeh tzalul biyoter. Have you ever heard of a water filter?
Mm.
What?
That.
We talked about that last year.
Yeah.
Right? Why in the world would somebody want to filter water that's already clean? I mean, if you would take, we talked about that. If you would take water to Mark Fawcett, and you would bring it back 100 years, and you would say to them, "What do you think of this water?" They would say, "I've never seen such clear water in my life. Where are the sediment? Where's the dirt? How do you, you know, it's amazing. But we have to put it in Nachamo filter, more filters, cleaner. Very good, it's not a problem." So the Mishnah says, Rambam says, if it's clear already, there's no problem in filtering it. Why? So let's look at the halachas in the Shulchan Aruch, in number 6.
Like if you put in the corkscrew and you got cork in it.
Well, that's different. No, that's different because then you have cork in it. Then it's not clear. Then you have sediment in it. You have something you want to get out.
It's floating.
Yayin o mayim shehem tzilulin. Okay, clear or clear water or wine. Mutar l'shananom b'mishmeret. You're allowed to filter it in a mishmeret, in a filter. Hagad or Amas es seinim. V'afapish yeshbo kesamim. Then there are small pieces. Hol u'uyin listot b'lav hachi. Since it was drinkable beforehand, therefore the filtering process isn't doing a significant enough amount to change it. So even though you are filtering it, you're taking out the microns and the carbons and the whatever when you put it in the filter, nonetheless, since it was drinkable before, the filtering process is not a prohibited filtering process. And therefore, it's permitted. Okay? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Yud. Okay? Yud, Mutar, why is it permitted? Since without the filtering, gam kevim tzilulim, it was still clear, uruyim listo, and it was worth what you were able to drink. Chayin ein bazeh mishum borer. Therefore, there's no problem of borer at all. No problem of borer. So therefore, is my tea bag a problem? Is my tea bag a problem? Is of straining? Is it straining when I why? That's right. The water that what I was using beforehand was clear. Since it's clear beforehand, it's drinkable beforehand. Therefore, the fact that I'm putting it through a filtering process, in this case, I actually want the water to grab onto something. But it's not considered a problem of filtering. And it's not considered a problem of shifting.
My mother used to do it a different way.
What?
Now everybody that's machter, they don't take a tea bag.
As long as you don't squeeze.
Why?
No, they want to make essence, so they want to use powder.
Why?
They're worried that you'll squeeze it.
Mm-hmm.
That's your mother did it, and that's the way
they're going. No, that's not true. Their mother used tea bags, I guarantee you. Guarantee it. What? We'll talk about it. We're going to get to it. We're about to get to it.
One second, I was up over the street. And once I couldn't believe what was going on. Guy had a big spill. I didn't know what
you
do.
He
was spooning it up.
I'm
like,
yeah,
New Year. You got it, but
he's
spooning everything up back to the picture.
Well, if you have time, correct? Okay, if you look at the Piskei Tshuvos, the Piskei Tshuvos is a compendium. It's one of those rabbi's tools. And when you ask a question, so somebody in this past century, and I think he's still alive today, he put together this whole list of tshuvos that come up. It's a wonderful, wonderful compendium of books. So he writes, the otam, number 7, the otam tiyunim, those tiyunim, things, right? Sheyesh b'tocham od kli katan minukav. So if you have a tea samovar, and in it you put the tea leaves, right? And then you close it, and then you pour the water in. So the water is sort of filtering through, and it's still it's going through, and the tea stays where it is. You put in the tea leaves, and you add water. So you add in the parentheses, they're very important parentheses. The Erev Shabbos. You added the hot water on Erev Shabbos. Oh, this Shabbos, or you did it on Shabbos. The Ofan Shein Mishum Bishul. In a way that there's no Bishul. So that's a very important caveat, as we'll soon see. Okay, Sheshochin, the Toch HaKos, when you pour it into the cup. Ovrim Hamayim Derech HaKliya Menukav Shabbo. The water filters, goes through this thing. Okay? Bechozim U'mishtaninim. And they're filtered again. V'zeh L'kule Alma Mutar. Everybody says that's permitted. Kevan Shehamayim Hayu Tzululim. Since the water was clear before and drinkable, and you pass them through this filter, in order just to pick up the taste of the tea, the domer l'din ha-mishmeret, and it's like the din of the mishmeret, the law of the mishmeret that we looked at. So George, tea bags, everyone agrees, tea bags is not a problem with filtering. So tea bags, not a problem. Coffee bags, also. Very good way of making coffee, real coffee on Shabbos. I don't know, anybody, Mina likes them. I mean, I know, I wasn't going to bring it. Is it any good?
You know, coffee bags? We travel, we take a law, because my sister-in-law always has a Chinese with instant, and we instead use the coffee bags. Oh, yeah. A heck of a lot better than instant.
It doesn't matter if you put the water first on the tea bag.
We're going to talk about that. It does matter. It very much does matter. We're going to talk about that. That's a bottom.
Yeah.
This is a bottom. Anybody seen this before?
No. Yeah.
This is a magical device. It's a great device. Why is it a great device? It's a little messy. Okay. You take your bottom, pour in the coffee. Okay? Am I doing this right? So far? Mm-hmm. Pour in the water. What?
Why are you enjoying this?
Oh, you're supposed to do that? Yeah, I just poured all that.
What are you doing this? Shabbos morning?
I'm just showing you how the bottom works. This is a filter. But it's a little bit different, right? Why? But now let's say you want your coffee now, okay? You finish, you're supposed to wait a couple of minutes, mix it around. Okay? And by the way, it's very good coffee, they say, because it leaves the oils or something, I don't know, whatever. It tastes kinda good. So now notice when you're ready to have your coffee though, you take this thing and you squish it down. And it pushes all the schmutz to the bottom. Okay?
So then you definitely separate.
Right, exactly. And you take that and, well, anybody want good coffee?
No.
Yeah. Oh, you need another cup.
You lost your hot water.
Was that real hot water?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real hot water. Oh,
good beans. Leave the beans.
Pretty strong, yeah. This heavy stuff. But you see, what happened was, he's enjoying it already. Miriam's going to be up.
Concentrating.
No, it's Maxwell House.
Okay.
But the point is, this you cannot do on Shabbos for a couple of reasons. The first reason is you can't do it is because without a doubt, when you push this plunger down, you're clearly pushing the bad out of the good. You're filtering. That is the definition of filtering. And it was something that was not drinkable before. Why was it not drinkable before? Because you had a mixture of coffee grinds and coffee. Nobody drinks, except Turkish people, they don't drink the coffee grinds and the coffee together. It had a mixture of pieces and not pieces. And you took the thing, and you use it as a filtering agent, really as a sifter, as a sieve. So that is not permitted on Shabbos. There's no way to do that on Shabbos. Okay? So that for that reason, this bodum may not be used on Shabbos. I don't see any way that one could use such a device on Shabbos at all. And the reason why I bring this up is because in the person came to me, someone gave him the bodum to use on Shabbos. They said, no, we don't make coffee, but this is what you have to do in order to use it on Shabbos. Okay? And so the answer is no, you cannot. Now, what about on Yom Kippur?
Yeah, you can.
The answer is yes, you can. Because certain acts that are prohibited for preparing food on Shabbos, are permitted to prepare food on Yom Tov. Now, it just so happens that shifting is not universally permitted, because the rabbis prohibited acts on Yom Tov itself that you should have done beforehand. Meaning, if you had, let's say, flour, you're not allowed to shift flour, like a whole bag of flour, on Yom Tov in order to make a cake. Why? Because you should have shifted flour from before. So anything you really should have done in bulk before, the rabbis did not allow. So now, what about this? Is this shifting something you should have done before?
No.
The answer is no. Why? Right. The whole purpose of doing the coffee this way, of filtering the coffee, is that you want it fresh. Correct. Now you like it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like Turkish.
So that the point being, change on Yom Tov if you're doing it for immediate use. Therefore, even though it really is shifting, it's permitted for Yom Tov. Whereas on Shabbos, it's not. I don't see any way to permit it at all. It's definitely a kind of filtering, a kind of shifting. And I think a person should not use this thing on Shabbos. If you see someone who has this thing, say, "Oh yeah, we had a shear on it," the rabbi said not to use it on Shabbos. Okay. So now we're stuck though, because I just told you you could grind the coffee, you could use a coffee bag.
Yeah.
So how do you make your coffee on Shabbos?
If you ground it.
You take it out of the refrigerator and put ice cubes in it.
The problem is us coffee snobs like fresh coffee.
So you took a hammer and you crushed it.
I took a hammer and I crushed it, right?
So maybe you can crush it in the filter.
What?
Can you crush it on the filter?
We're not the snobby kind of sewer.
So I tell you what, I just solved my problem. Because now we have these beautiful machines called coffee makers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you say, well, tell you what. I know I can't make it in the bottom on Shabbos, because that's a problem. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take my coffee maker, I've got a special 24-hour one, and before Shabbos I'll put in the water, and I'll put in the grind, and I'll set it for 7 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos morning. So I say, oh, we're all set, no problem. I set it before Shabbos, and I'm good.
So it's cooking on Shabbos.
Put your boiling water. And water is going up there.
No,
it's not.
Eating up the water.
We do it right before Shabbos starts.
One second. Again. Explain. Right. So off the glove clock.
Cooking.
When did I do the act of cooking?
On Shabbos day.
Hello, I'm standing here the whole time.
So it's cooking before Shabbos, but the...
You know, it's interesting. Now they have, I saw this in a catalog, they now have a refrigerator oven.
Yes, right.
You would like one. So this is for, they now realize, this is for women who work. I think that somebody realized that women actually work. Oh, so you made dinner, you prepared dinner, it keeps it cool until 3 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock it turns yourself on. And I think what they don't realize. I think what they don't realize is that people are too busy. They don't make. Nobody's that organized to make dinner at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's at 7 o'clock.
They would make it the night before.
She used to do. It was like 2 o'clock. She set the timer on her oven to cook the dinner. You know, like to make her roast.
Yeah.
Set it from 2 to 4 to play the roast, and then she'd go out shopping and come back. The roast is done.
Yeah, but you have to be home at 2 o'clock.
This way. Like a man.
All day, this is a refrigerator.
Well, what happens
if you go on at
4:30? You want your food cooked
when
you come home.
Okay. So am I? So can I hear this beautiful coffee? How fine is getting thirsty? Can I? What? It's absolute. This is shake. What? Oh, don't worry, they figured it out. So the question would be, just like this coffee, I want to have, you know, to be honest with you, one of the things I get, Nina takes a lot of pride in her cooking, I must say. She's an excellent cook. It's very hard to have fresh food on Shabbos day. You can't, I mean, it's like, you know, dried out and the chicken and whatever, so we solved the problem. Nobody wants that, Shalin. You put your chicken in this refrigerator oven. Right? That's a good day, right? And then you just set it to go on the Shabbos morning. You come back at 12:30 Shabbos afternoon. Beautiful.
Ooh.
but it's cooking on Shabbos.
You're cooking on Shabbos.
Reheating.
It's almost like you're chilling.
No, no, right. Chilling, you have to cook before Shabbos.
It has to be half.
My chilling is done before Shabbos.
Okay.
And then it just stays warm.
So you
right.
Cook your chicken so, yeah. When it's in there.
So that's what you're allowed to do, but you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos.
I'm not cooking. What did I do? I'm not cooking.
But you're not touching my chicken.
I'm not touching my chicken. I put it in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. What did I do? I left. I walked to Southfield, came back Shabbos morning.
We have
cooked. Isn't it the halacha for making challah?
Interesting question. Forget the oven. Okay, wait, Evan has a good point. There's a problem of what's called shihia. Excellent. Shihia means leaving something in the oven that's not cooked. That's an uncovered element. Okay, Evan, take away my oven. Very good. Excellent point.
So
I covered over the knobs.
What? You covered the knobs. What?
Remember, the whole thing, it only had to be fully cooked if I didn't have a breath.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Gotcha. So now, can I do it?
You still can't be 100% raw.
Why not? If you have a blech, there's no problem. Because the whole point was maybe you would turn it up. No, only if you don't have a blech.
Isn't it also true that right. If your challah isn't cooked, you add a piece of raw meat to it during the full Shabbos?
It's better if you have a blech. Anybody who has a blech or a mind your crock pot is covered. But we're not doing the coffee. Well, let's go back. Let's go back.
So happy.
My question to you is why not?
Okay, because it's not drinkable before Shabbos.
So? You're right, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
So what?
The only way you have to make that.
Let's say I put a foil pan there and I cover these things over. Put foil there and I cover these things over. George, what do you say? Yeah?
It's still filtering.
Yeah, remember though, it's going through the filter, but the filtering is not a problem. We just learned the filter is not a problem. Right? It's heating the water. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, absolutely not.
That doesn't look right.
What? Listen to Rav Moshe. 3. Let me see on page 1. You know, this is one, an interesting tshuva. We're not going to read the whole thing, but it's a long tshuva.
Oh,
but from Moshe's language, he's like, no way. Come on. Not how desperate are you? Because Moshe didn't look at it that way. You ask Moshe a question, he'd give you an answer.
Halacha.
Right, halacha question. So now the first question is, why not? Says Rav Moshe. Excellent. Right. So he wrote to his grandson, Rav Mordechai Tendler. Remember, Mordechai Tendler is alive today. He's a rabbi in Muncie. Yeah. Hine, b'davar she'al yidei chashmal, using chashmal, which is electricity, inyan ha'elektri. And Moshe always wrote it out. Okay. Efshar al yidei moresh sha'ot. You can use a timer. Hana'aseh l'kach, that's made for this. She'amidenu be'erev Shabbos. It takes food on Erev Shabbos. Be'ofan, in a way, she'yatzchil l'machar b'yom Shabbat. Kishar lifneish man ha'achila. Right, and my coffee maker. Let's set it before Shabbos, and I've got delicious, fresh, piping hot coffee on Shabbos. Asher achicha nathia yakar Aaron Baruch Shlita Shoel, your brother, my beloved grandson, Aaron Baruch Tendler, asked me a question. Hine la'aniot dati pashut she'asur la'atir zeh. It's simple to me that I can't allow it. D'harei'a yudei moresh sha'ot. He says, listen to his logic. By using a timer, yicholim la'asot kom l'chot v'shabbat. You could do anything. U'b'chol batei charoshet, and all the factories. See how Ramosha says? He says, you could run a factory on Shabbos that way. You could set your, now especially, it's all computerized anyway. Tell you what, I'm built cars on Shabbos, and you know, I'm not doing anything. I said it before. What did I do? There is no greater cheapening of Shabbos than this. Ubarur, it's clear. If this was in the times of the Tanaim and the Amoraim, the great rabbis, how you osrim zeh? They would have forbidden it. Kamosha asu amir la'akum mikam zeh. There's also another halacha. Forget studying it before. I'm just asking my Jewish friend to do it for you. You have a maid? Make me coffee. Why not? Why not? The answer is, it's asa. What made it asa? The rabbi said it was usher.
Doing this for your benefit.
Why, so what? The reason why it's usher is because... You're Evan. Well, okay, your friend, your neighbor. Your neighbor comes in and makes you coffee. The answer is, the Rabbanan word goes there. Amir al-Malachi. It's a gerah. It's a din Rabbanan. You're not allowed to ask him. There's no malacha of asking a non-Jew. The rabbis prohibit it. So why do rabbis prohibit it? Because if your non-Jew could do anything for you, what's
but if the non-Jew is doing it for themselves, let's say they're a good friend, they come in,
yes,
they know where your coffee is, and they're not craving anything, and they're making themselves a cup of coffee, you could partake of it.
I'll just tell you, he asked a great question. I got to settle it like that. Because what would happen, what happens if the non-Jew, I have someone who's a resident in the hospital, and very often he's required to, he's required
to stay on Shabbos.
Right, to stay on Shabbos.
So and it makes a big possible.
That's exactly what happens. He wants to know if he could have the, I don't know the exact answer. There was a significant problem of him taking it and putting it back on the heater. Taking it and putting it back. Or, you know, what happens if somebody offered him coffee? Should he take it or not take it? But it's just, it's not so far-fetched.
They've already got the pot in their hand and they're pouring and they say, can I pour you a cup? You're not causing them to put it on.
I don't remember. I don't want to give the answer off the top of my head. I don't remember the answer. But because I don't, I think if a non-Jew cooked it for himself, I don't know. I'm pretty sure you can't benefit from it on Shabbos.
Because of Bishalakum.
If he cooked it for himself. Not Bishalakum. I don't remember. I don't want to answer off the top of my head.
Don't you have to light the pot or something like that? Even if
a boy cooks
this, you can
just. You're talking about because that's a Bishalakum.
Bishalakum. 24 hours. That's
okay. Okay, yeah. He says, "Velo dummy, no mashamuta lahamid kidera agabi eish." It's not like. He says, and this is not similar. What happens if you put the tallin up a minute before Shabbos with the blech?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely, you could do that. Yeah, you could do. With the black.
Oh,
he said, that's totally different. The rabbis allowed that because you did your action. You finished, you did the action of the cooking.
1 minute before Shabbos started.
What?
What if it goes into the oven instead of in front of black?
It has to be covered in some way. If it goes in the oven, no, then it has to be a third cook beforehand, or at least a third cook. Okay. Yeah. Right.
That's what I'm thinking of.
So now, it's interesting. Look at the next column, the top of the next column, middle column in on number 3. Number 3 in the first page. Avayesh tam gadol le'esor mitam acher. There's another reason to prohibit. Dehaz yilusha de Shabbos. Ve'av yilusha de Yom Tov. Okay, this is a cheapening of Shabbos.
So far, I don't understand why using timers for lights isn't absolutely prohibited.
Good. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so
that's what he says. The Kevin Shabbos is Igaz Gilusa the Shabbos, since it's a keeping of Shabbos. Who bichlal isa zeh? Menela asher lo asher zeh biyuchul dechol inyan Gilusa isa. Any type of cheapening is asher. Okay. Vegam pasher lami adaiti. It seems simple to me. The osa davar zeh to Giluta the Shabbos. Someone who does something that cheapens the Shabbos. Who over be adayim achil hakavod? There's an obligation of covered Shabbos. So you're cheapening Shabbos, and you're violating covered Shabbos, and that's an obligation in the Torah. Okay. So now you're wondering, what about timers? So you know who else wonders that?
Oh,
Moshe. Skip to the bottom of the column. Alal karpanim.
Did we read it on
here? What? Yeah, okay. He says, what about the timers for the lights? Shehudaku, they were lit, so you turn them off. Gam shiachzur lehidalek achar kach b'sof hayom. Then they'll go back on. Ein lasor. I can't say it's aser. Me'achar delekibu haneros from menoros hagedolos. Shenikru belaz lampin. Okay, because they had big lampin, what they called chandeliers. Shahayu de'esh mamish. So back in Europe, right?
They call them Shabbos lamp. They had a special lamp for Shabbos.
Right. Nagu b'chol makom lo dichbotam ayidei achol. Their minag was they put them out. The guy would come and put them out. V'hayu gam mekomot shayu nogin lachzor b'havikam b'beis ha-medrash etzilas ne'ilah b'yom kippur. It was getting dark. I mean, you have to ask yourself, what did they do in shuls? What did they do Shabbos mincha? I mean, Friday night, okay. Shabbos morning, it was light outside. You know, the old shul, they had windows. I didn't have lights inside. But come nila, come mincha, come whatever. What did they do? The answer is, a lot of places were in the dark. And some places, they had a guy come and relight. Because the candles would go out. The nimshach was then, Ezer Mekombos, Shagam B'Shabbos, so from some places, they had a custom, Shagam B'Shabbos, Ve'ish Erev, Hidlik Ra'yidei Nachi, La'amiris Mizmorim. Right, when did they say the Mizmorim? On Shabbos afternoon? After Mincha time. Right, after Mincha. After Kvart, Socho, Harbe Inyar, the Nodi Buda Kama, Chedek, Arachayim, Zim, Lama Gimel, Aval Natan Tam, Mahamakir. So the Nodi Buda was not happy about this. The rabbi said, well, you should just know. The fact that they had non-Jews coming back, the rabbis didn't like it. But you know what the boards of the shuls said to the rabbis?
We need the light.
They said, candles are expensive. And there's no way we can justify paying to keep the lights on all Shabbos.
Really?
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, the rabbi said, we don't like it, but, you know, there is a heter of Amira La'akum, the tzarech, for the tzarech of the community. So the people came to the rabbi and said, I mean, it's a community tzarech. You know, week in, week out, you know, these things are expensive, and we have to maintain the community. There's no way in every shul, in every town, and whatever. And the rabbi said, we don't like it, but whatever. Fine.
This was the time of the candles, right?
What?
You're talking about the time when they used candles.
Right. Rama, Bashim, and Beish, Ayin, Vav, Sif, Beish, Rama, right? Shinogu, Rabim, Lahakel, many were permissible. Many were lenient. Litzavod, Lahakum, Lahadmich, Litzorah, Seuda. To ask the non-Jew to like, they want to have a meal. Bifrat, Sidas, Chashana, Omila. If you were having a Simcha in this shul, so you hired the guy to come light the lights.
At home.
Okay. Okay. Mashma de Makam Sarakado Mati in the case of great needs. So the Hain Ashem and Harayla Ashem and Harayla Hachmir Ubig Vulainu the Europe Yichmir. This is Rabbi Shabbat. I want to tell you, Rabbi Shabbat did not grow up in Manhattan.
Right. Where did you grow up in Europe?
Where did you grow up? In Prussia. Well, we didn't do this. Nobody turned off the lights. You lit Friday night. The lights went out. You went to sleep. You got up the next morning. And when it got dark on Shabbos afternoon, it got dark. I was once in Israel. I stayed at a place in Kamenitz. So a lot of Kamenitz is a neighborhood in Yerushalayim. So the people I stayed with, they didn't use electricity on Shabbos.
Wow.
There are a number of there's a large number of people that don't use electricity on Shabbos, and they unplugged the fridge and they turned off the whole thing. And they had a whole system, ice packs and whatever. The reason being because if the electricity went off. No, if it went off, then a Jew would have to fix it for them. See, they didn't want to be on the electric grid on Shabbos. Okay, they're kulos, but they felt that this was the chumra they wanted. So as Shabbos went away, they had these lamps, just a couple of gas lamps, you know, just like the turn of the century gas lamps. That's what they used. I don't know, it was kerosene or propane or I don't know what it was, but it was dark. You know, imagine this coming Shabbos, just imagine that you didn't have any lights. You know, still in Havdalah.
That's what happened. Yeah. That's what happened.
No, she still doesn't have any electricity.
Oh, in Florida?
In Florida.
Yeah. So that's how you have, you know. It makes her interesting job. Okay. Mikol Makom says, we didn't do it, but Kevan Shieshu Rabusha Shehitiru, Benagin, Bahar Ben Makom, since they permitted it, and they did it in a lot of places. And last time I said, for Nahagu Lahakel, the Ha'amaras Ha'alekhi, the Erev Shabbos, Aydin Marashos. So why does Rav Moshe say you're allowed to use electric, you're allowed to use a timer for lights? David, why does he say so?
He says because he's making, with all respect for Rav Moshe, finding a very inept comparison to a totally different practice that they used to have in Europe.
But he said the practice became lenient.
The practice became lenient.
And it became applied in America to use the electric lamps.
Right.
So therefore, he says...
So I'm not going to change it.
Correct.
It's totally different. Because they also used to allow other things in Europe that you wouldn't think of today. They used to allow people to come in because of great need. They used to allow a Gentile to come in and light the stoves.
Does it sound from Rav Moshe's language like he's comfortable with what's going on?
Probably not.
No, it's not at all comfortable. But he says, all right, you know, people use Shabbos cloths for lamps. And you do. Now, I'll just add another point. I remember when a 60-watt bulb, you know, I remember, you know, there was a time when people had nothing. And leaving the lights on, you know, you turned off the lights because it burned electricity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when going to Israel, and they used going up the sixth floor steps.
Not just Israel.
No, they have it in Israel, so the one lamp. The one, the push button.
In Europe, they had it too.
So, like we use for our yotzah lamp, it's a little bulb on the top of the stairs.
So,
and we just walked in the dark to go up.
And the money, but the point is, the money really, the cost and the expense was expensive for people.
Okay.
To leave the lights on or not to leave the lights on.
I wonder what Rabbi Moshe would think about the kosher lamp.
He would be very happy with the kosher lamp because it stays on. But the kosher lamp is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Look at this. What's the lamp that people use? Just leave it on. Does anybody bat an eyelash about leaving on a 13-watt lamp all Shabbos?
No.
How much does that can cost?
5 cents.
5 cents. Maybe. Whatever. So to be honest with you, is it really so important that we set our Shabbos clocks that the lights should go off on Shabbos? What? It's looking like the lighting, yeah, that's right.
What he's saying?
Right, you got
to use compact. Well, it's amazing. They last forever and the bills.
But that point being, he says, you know, the point being, is it really, meaning something that became our custom, he's not so comfortable with it.
Well, there's all those timers not.
Exactly. Right. But the question is, we're used to it on Shabbos. One could say argue that we're used to it. We don't think about it anymore. So it's not. Is it a cheapening of Shabbos if we're used to it? It's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. What?
Yeah,
Shabbos.
Very good.
The
Gamma Mei Lelekas Vilusa LeShabbos. There's no cheapening. Lelekas Talma Achol Nasar Kehim Chayim Mekomo Shnagu Vazeh. The Sinter people that also did this. Adaraba, the Mitzvahs Kavos Shuuda Shabbos. It's Kavos Shabbos. Except you could hear nowadays, leave them on. Leave them on. Why do you need Shabbos clock off, on, off, on? Leave them on.
Because
you can't
we're getting
like you know, coffee. He says, I'm not going to add on to be permissible. Gam lebishul umalachas acheros. I will not permit, he says, I will not permit you setting a timer to do bishul on Shabbos. It's bad enough that you do it for the lights. We're not going there. That's what he says. I'm not going there. It's a cheapening of Shabbos, and I'm not going to allow it. Now, just note, by the way, Rav Moshe was very strong about this. Did the world accept his tzak? I mean, it proved to me the world did not accept his tzak. Because people set all kinds of things on timers. Has anybody heard of an air conditioner being set on a timer?
Yes.
Yes.
All the time.
Probably heaters, too.
So, air conditioner and heating. So, once the cat is out of the bag, what's to say that this is prohibited also? Why should this be more prohibited than turning it on your air conditioner? It's an excellent question. Although, Rav Moshe clearly says, you may not do it, I'm not going to permit Bishul, but you ask him, what's the technical reason why I can't? You're keeping Shabbos. Wouldn't it be, couldn't you say, well, you know, I really like my coffee. It would really make my Shabbos right. morning to have a cup of coffee. You know what he says?
Coffee.
Too bad. Live it. Live without it. But he feels, what does he mean cheap and Shabbos? The idea being that electricity's gone on and off and on and off. You know, it's interesting that we live in such a more automated world today. You know, especially when this was written, Tafshin Lamed Zion, 35 years ago. I still had, I don't know, but he just didn't like the idea of setting a timer to cook for you on Shabbos. Because if you set a timer to cook for you on Shabbos, what's forbidden? What can't you do? You know, I can now set my Roomba, my vacuum cleaner, to vacuum up on Shabbos. Right, you program this thing, right? And then at once a day, at 1 o'clock, it goes, it gets out of its little, gets out of its little cradle. It goes and vacuums on its own. It's a robot vacuum cleaner. Yes,
a little disc thing.
It goes all around the room.
Yeah,
No.
Yeah, it is.
Am I out of time? Am I like somebody out of time?
No, they finished normally.
But if you start this before Shabbos starts and put a piece of aluminum foil on the bottom, it's okay, right?
if you set it before Shabbos, you put the aluminum foil.
Right before Shabbos starts.
Yeah, then, well,
it's
yeah, then.
24 hours, well, 12 hours.
No. People, what would be the advantage of that? Would it be hot?
It would stay 2 hours. It would be hot.
It would be hot.
Yeah.
10 minutes before Shabbos. 10 minutes.
And then you have it Friday night?
Yeah.
Oh, for Friday night, absolutely. You could. Absolutely. Clockwise, not on a timer. Continuous. It stays on the whole Shabbos. Right. Yeah, you don't use timers. Okay. But that being my most point, his point being, and it's an interesting question. It's interesting for us to ponder. To what degree does technology cheapen the value that we have of Shabbos? It's an interesting question to ponder. It's hard for us to really know since it's around us all the time. We don't really have a sense of, especially here, you know, when we walk down the street and people are driving, we don't bat an eyelash because it's not, you know what I'm saying?
On the other hand, can't you argue that it's been created for a reason? God let it be created for a reason, so why can't we use it?
But by that token, if you had a car factory, you should be able to run that thing on Shabbos too. Would you agree that that's a...
Yeah,
like, so where's the line? Oh! Okay, I think we're going to stop here, and we'll continue. Ramosha didn't feel so. We'll stop here. We'll continue. There is a way to make a cup of coffee on Shabbos. We're going to talk about it next week. Okay.